Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph, and we were right in the middle, and we left you at the edge of your seat, right in the middle trying to figure out what is the difference between Ben Bagbag's approach and Reb Yudah Ben Becerra's approach, since it turned out yesterday that we ended up understanding that they both agree that midiraisa, there's no problem of a woman who is merely an arusa to be able to eat truma. But they both agree that midrabanan, there is a problem. They seem to argue only about the question about whether there is a chash for a simpon. So according to Ben Bagbag, look, there's no simpon, and there's no question of simpon when it comes to oma, ivria, to Evet Kenani at all. And therefore, the limudim that we're learning from there are irrelevant. And the only nafkamina would be the question of a simpon by an isha. Whereas, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was learning, we have a raya from the din of Kenyan Evet, where over there they do eat truma, that the Torah is not cheshish for simpon. And therefore, there's got to be another problem. That other problem is the famous problem of ula, as illustrated each time by Reb Barnea with a bottle of Schweppes, I believe. Yes, there we go. We have Schweppes, and we're worried that it might be truma, and it might be in the refrigerator, and the kids might eat it. That turned out to be the big deal, right? So now, it turns out that they're basically agreed. So what do we care about technicalities? That's today's Gemara. Let's start with that question. Michte. Come on, man. The bottom line is that Bein Lamar, there's no real difference over here. We're eight lines down from the top. Whether you hold of Ben Bagbag or you hold of Ula, essentially, it's the same thing. Midiraita, you are allowed to eat. Midirabonin, you're not allowed to eat. Either because, according to Ula, we're concerned about the Barnea bottle, or, according to Ben Bagbag, we're concerned with a simpon. And we can't learn out that the Torah is not makbid on simpons from Evet because there's no such thing as simpon be'ev. That's where we came out, but that means that they agree. Is there any difference between them? The bottom line is midrabanan and lo achla. So my benayim. There is a difference. The difference between them is kibel masar vahalach. Rashi understands that this language, kibel masar vahalach, is a simon to enable you to remember, because otherwise we wouldn't have put it exactly this way. But it's true what it says. Kibel. Kibel means that the Kohen was makabel on himself. He says, I want to marry this woman, and I don't care if it turns out that she's an alien. Okay, so then if that's the case, there's not going to be any simpon, because he's already beferish agreed that he's not going to be makbid no matter what it turns out that he discovers in her when they get into bed together. So therefore, if the question is ula, that's irrelevant. The bottom line is the bottle is still in the fridge. Masha Enkein, if the problem is Ben Bagbag and simpon, well, in this case, there's no simpon. And that would be one difference. The other difference would be Masar Vaholach. Masar is that the father gave over his daughter to the shlichim of the Baal who was going to be the Baal, the Orus, or where Halach, that's the case where the only reason we use these cases, no difference between these last two cases in our halacha, except that there are dinim that the Gemara talks about in Ksuvas where there's a difference if the shluchim of the Av are continuing to walk along with the girl to take her all the way to the house and to prepare for the chuppah. But the bottom line is, in the event that she's already left her father's home, however that was, father delivered her, the shluchim are walking her, but she's no longer living at home. If she's not living at home, then we have nothing to worry about putting her coke in the fridge. And therefore, according to Ula, that would be fine. But if the problem is simpon, now then, the fact that the father's walking along does not make the simpon less likely. And because of that, there would still be the concern. So there are two cases where we've got a serious difference between them. Now, we're still baiting. Bekesed. So now let's get back to the next words in the Mishnah. We went through Bekesev, Bishtar, Bia. We've gotten that far. Now, the next word is Bekesev, Beit Shammai Omrim Bedinar, or Beshava Dinar, Beit Hillel Omrim Bepruta, or Beshava Pruta. Let's discuss that. Bekesev, Beit Shammai Omrim Bedinar. Where does Beit Shammai get the idea that you need to have a dinner? I mean, for Beis Hillel, we don't ask, where do you get that idea? Because all over the Torah, the minimum description of something that has value to people is a Shavah Pruta. So we understand that just like in any purchase, a Shavah Pruta is essential. So here too, that's the shear. But where would Beit Shammai come up with this new idea of requiring a dinner? Amar Rabbi Zera, Shekein Isha Makpedet Al Atzma Ve'ein Mitkadeshet Bepachot Midinah. Didn't we see? Oh, Barnea's show and tell this morning is a dinner.
Silver dinner of Vespasian.
Vespasian was a phony and that was already watered down with copper. I want to see a real dinner.
Locally here, I don't think it was watered down. I don't think
Barnea, we want to see a dinner tzuri.
And here is a pruta. And it's so cool. It's such an impact on the mechanech when you put them both down on the page.
Wow.
The pruta and say, this is what we're talking about.
So amazing.
Doing it virtually, but it's right here.
Excellent. Truly amazing. Okay. So, we found before, when we were talking about chalipin, remember? So we had a machlokas Rashi. Tosfos over there about an isha, basically is not going to accept something that isn't choshev to her. That's not the way the Tosfos understood it, but that's the way Rashi understood it. So that means that we have that additional question when it comes to kedusha isha, and this is a question that's going to affect how much she would be willing to accept. So when it came to Chalipin, we said the entire kinyan of Chalipin doesn't follow because of that. Here, the din of what is considered to be value changes because it's insulting for a woman to take a Shavah Pruta as if she's a commodity like a piece of candy from a candy machine. So the point over here is that it's according to the Das of the Isha, they were koveya that it should be something Choshev. And that is that dinner a woman would be willing to accept. Omale Abaye, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, because then basically what you're saying, says Abaye, is that it's dependent on the case. In other words, what about the daughters of Rabbi Yanai? These were very high-class people, and they never were able to get a husband that would give them less than a tarkava de dinra. They were very captain on Afshayu. They would take 3 bushels of golden dinners. That was choshev to them. You're going to give them a dinner? Guess it, what are you, nuts? I mean, this is $1 million per kid. Rabbi Yanai did pretty well for himself over there. Anyway, so that's what they would be mekabel. So you're going to tell me that in the event that, let's say, this girl goes ahead and she accepts 1 zuz, so in that case, her kedushin would not be chal according to Beit Shammai either, because she took a dinner. And after all, for her, a dinner is not chashuv. And you're saying that the whole idea is that we were koveya the dinner because of the fact that she's unable to allow herself to be mekudeshes. But then it doesn't make sense, because then are we going to start changing according to the individual? If to them it's not considered to be kesev, so then that would mean that you cannot be Mekadesh, a daughter of Rabbi Yanai, even if she was Mekabel at the dinner, right? Because to her, that's the Hakpada, and the fact that she gave in this case and fell in love with the guy and accepted a crummy dinner, that would not make Kedushin. In the same way that according to Beit Shammai, she falls in love with the guy and accepts a pruta, for a regular woman accepts a pruta, Bepashtus, it would not be Kedushin. I mean, that's what you're saying, that it's a defined shear based on Hakpada. Omarle, of course not. What's the matter with you? Obviously, I wasn't saying that this is a defined shear across the board. I'm saying that if you don't have her acceptance, Farish, of this shear, then you get into this problem. So, for instance, I wasn't talking about a case where she knew what she was doing and she was pushed to Yad of a Kibla. Lo Kamina, obviously, even Beit Shammai would agree that you can be mitkadeshet with a pruta. I'm talking about, let's say, that someone was mekadesh her at night. He gives her the money. She doesn't see exactly what it was that he had given her for the kiddushin. Or maybe she made a shliach. She told the shliach, go and be mekabel kiddushin. She didn't define how much the kiddushin has to be. And this guy goes ahead, and he's mekabel less than that dinner. So there we say, min hastam, that Beit Shammai is saying it's a dinner. But if she herself says, I'm willing to be mitkadeshes for this pruta, then of course, then that would be the shear. And therefore, there's no problem about benate derabiana. It's defined, indeed, by what the woman does. But if she wants to be mekabelas kedushin, well, obviously, she can be mekabelas kedushin. Rav Yosef Amar, that's not a great kind of approach. I mean, because then it means that you're not really telling me what the value of Kedushin in terms of the Kinyan is. You're just simply making it a lesson in what to assume women want. So that's hard to believe. I think the pshat is that Tamayu de Beit Shammai could review the Amar of Asi. Point over here is that the same way the Amar review the Amar of Asi, Kol Kesef Amur Batorah, Kesef Tzuri, when the Torah uses the word Kesef, it's not a synonym for money. That's not what kesef means, even though people may use the word that way. But when it says kesef, it means actual silver. That's the point. And what's silver? Well, it's talking about a special coinage, which was pure silver, and that was kesef tzuri. Now, since tzur was, we should say, the gold standard, but over here it's the silver dollar standard, it was the 100% pure silver, and that was because of it, the international standard for value, because you didn't have to rely like you do today after the U.S. went off the actual metallic standard. It's no longer gold standard, no longer even silver standard. It's not backed by anything, really, except by myths. So that is not what the Torah is referring to. It's referring to actual metal, pure silver. And that would mean that whatever that shiur is in kesef tzuri, whatever constitutes value in kesef tzuri terms, that is to say their minimum shiur, which they did not have a pruta, and because Rav Yoram Rav Asi says that in anywhere in the Torah that we find kesef, and over here we find kesef, natati kesef asada kach mimeni, that's kicha kicha mistei Ephron, right? And because of that, it has to follow the kesef tzuri. Only where it shall divrehem kesef medina. When the Rabbanan make a din about giving kesef, there it means the 1/8 of the value of that actual coin in the real kesef of tzuri, because they would water down with copper, and they would mix copper and silver in this so that it became worth 1/8 of the actual silver content. And since over here, Beit Shammai holds that way, so we should go, therefore, to the dinner, and not a pruta, because there were no such things as prutas, which is only a coin that is in a non-silver system. And therefore, we want to use the dinner, which is the choshava silver coin. That's the point. Gufa. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav Asi kol kesef amur b'torah kesef tzuri v'shal divrehem kesef medina. So that's what you claimed is the actual klal that Beit Shammai holds up. And the question is that really true? V'klalahu, is this really true? That it refers to kesef tzuri wherever? How do you explain the fact that the Torah uses the word kesef in the din of Meida B'miktsas? So remember, the din of Meida B'miktsas is Ki yitein ish al reyehu kesef o kelim lishmor. Then they get into a disagreement about what it was, So the pasuk goes on to say, Asher yomar ki hu zeh v'nikrav ba'al habayit el Elohim, Asher yomar ki hu zeh. We understand that that pasuk means that if one of the parties says, the defendant says, I already paid you this, and this is the amount it was, ki hu zeh, not the amount that you say. So that's called modeh b'miktzat ha'ta'ana, and the halacha is that modeh b'miktzat ha'ta'ana has to take a shvuah. What exactly defines the amount of the original disagreement? What was the taina? And what was the ki hu zeh? How much was that? So that is called, as we're going to see over here, the ta'ana versus the hoda'ah. So tanan. It says there in a Mishnah that the halacha is that the shvuat ha-dayanim is where the Torah was mechayev the bezdin to take a shvuah instead of the payment. So the shvuat ha-dayanim only goes into effect that the bezdin has to make the shvuah d'oraisa where there was a minimum of shtei kesev. So there needed to be two kesev mo'os, and that's the mo'o is the smallest kesev tzuri, and it says over here two. And the hoda'ah, how much do you need to admit that was already paid or that remains to be paid? That is one pruta, ends up being the difference between them. So it says over here that you have shtei mo'os. So then how do you say kesev means by definition the coin of specifically kesev tzuri? I mean, that would be one ma. How did we come out with meaning two? It doesn't make sense. If you say two, then you're talking about value. How much value? Then you're using kesev in the sense of money. Because if kesev means silver, where the heck do you come with the idea of two what? So therefore we see over here that kesev is not a reference specifically to silver. It's a reference to money. There it's different, says the Gemara. You're right. But the reason that it's different over there is because it says kesev o kelim. So therefore we learn out that the Torah is making a hekesh between the kesev and the kelim. Hatam dumya de kelim. Just like kelim is Lashon Rabim, so it's in the plural. So there's got to be two things. Av kesev shnayim. So therefore, the kesev refers to two tzuri. Two tzuri would be two ma'at tzuri. So even if you hold that kesev means literally this amount of silver coin, it would mean two. Another thing that we learn from there is that ma kesev davar chashuv, av kelim davar chashuv. So you would have thought, and this is a machlokas really in Shavuos, that let's say there's an argument, you borrowed two needles from me and I want them back. And this guy says, but I already gave you back one. Now, those needles are not worth even a shava pruta. You would have thought, but since they are specific kalim and they have usage as they are, then that would have meant that you would be chayev a shvua in that case, even though the difference between them is so minimal in terms of actual value. Comes along the hekesh to tell me that since we put together kesev and kelim, the plural is learned from kelim, and the chashivas is learned from kesev. So if you're talking about two kelim, they need to be kelim that are chashiv and not things that people will just throw away and not take seriously. Okay, I got another question. All right, you've managed to get out of this one, so you wiggled your way out of this particular use of kesev. There's other places where it says kesev, and it clearly does not mean this kesev tzuri as actual silver, because what about ma'aser? Are ma'aser? What does it say by ma'aser? So it says that if you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and it's difficult for you to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so what you can do is, you can take your Maaser Sheni, which you were supposed to bring up to Yerushalayim, and you do not have any way to transport all of this stuff. And so what you've been doing is you've been paying Maaser Sheni, and now you've got a lot of prutas over here, apparently, I mean, you'd think, and you have to now put it into one coin and go to Yerushalayim. So it says over there, Vitzarta HaKesev Biyadecha. You should then take that money in your hands And after Vinatata Ba-Kesev, you made the Meiser into Kesev. Then you wrap it up, and V'alachta L'makom Asher Yivcha Hashem L'kecha Bo, you then go to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, take a look at the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, which defines how much money we're talking about. Utnan, aporet sela, mima'ot Maaser Sheni. You're bringing up your silver. You want to use, obviously, the most effective way to bring up your prutos is not to carry a big bag of pennies. It would be nice to take all those pennies and turn them into silver dollars, right? So it says over there, haporet selam yimah, sheni, there's a machlokas, whether you do the whole thing and so on, but that's not what's important to us, is just those opening words. You're taking your prutot and you're using a sela to turn them into prutot. Now, if we're talking about someone who had Meiser Sheni using prutot, and now he's trying to get those prutos into a silver coin, how did he have them in prutos originally? If the meaning of Vitzarta HaKesev originally is Vinatata BaKesev Vitzarta, is a reference to Dafka silver coins, because you said that in the Torah, where it uses that word, kesev, it means silver. And here we've got a whole discussion about what do you do when you've got a bunch of copper coins and you want to turn them into a silver coin. So obviously, when the Torah said kesev, it did not mean to put it into silver initially. Yes, true, but this is a special case as well. Because over here it says Vitzarta HaKesev. You could have just said Vitzarta Kesev Biyadecha. What do you mean HaKesev? So therefore, it's telling me as a ribui that anything which is money, HaKesev. If you're talking about silver, you don't say HaSilver, you say silver. Take silver. But here, since it says HaKesev, so now it's not a reference to the normal way we talk about the Kesev Tzuri. It just means take money, whatever that money is. Okay. All right. You wiggled out of this one. So now we have two special cases. Of every single case I bring you, you're going to turn into a special case. I'll bring you another case. Let's see how you get out of this one. What about Hegdash? By Hegdash, it says, V'natan HaKesev V'kamlo. And Shmuel says that the halacha is Hegdash Shove Mone, Shechidalo al Shove Pruta, it's Bechulal. So now, since it says, and it doesn't really say those words, by the way, Venatana Kesev Kamlo, but I mean, that's like a shorthand. The shorthand of the Pasuk is Ve'im Go'o Yigalat Asadeh Magdishoto V'yasav Chamishit Kesev Erkecha Alav V'kamlo. So it's as if it wrote Venatana Kesev V'kamlo. Okay, so it says Beferish over there, he should be Mosif the Kesev Erkecha V'kamlo. So now, how come over there, Shmuel says that even though the Torah specifies giving Kesev, and it's going to be good enough if it's a Peruta. So if you're telling me the Torah says it needs to be silver, then it would need to be a Ma'a of Kesev. So how could you use Shover Peruta? I don't understand. Obviously, it means that we're not assuming that Kesev is Kesev Tzuri. Yeah, but that's a special case. Oh, I can't believe it. Another special case. Okay, how is this case special? What's different? Over here, it doesn't say HaKesev. Over here, it says Kesev. So what is this referring to? Because since we learn Gzeira Shava of the Kesev by Kodesh and the Kesev by Meiser, which is also a type of Kodesh, put the two together, and what do you get? A special din of Kesev that is Marbe value instead of a particular coin. So since Kodesh and Meiser are similar, we make this Hekesh between them. Oh, man. Okay, so now let's take a look at our Mishnah. How about Kiddushei Isha? Now it says over here, Ki yikach ish ishau ba'alam, we learn how kicha kicha mi stay Ephron, and by stay Ephron, what does it say? Natati kesev. Aha. Now, nonetheless, it says in our Mishnah that Beit Hillel omrim bepruta. Oh my gosh, how could it be a pruta? Since you claim that the idea of the word kesev never means a pruta, it's got to mean silver coinage. How could it be a pruta? I mean, what are we going to say? that Rabbi Asi, who says this din, that it always means Kesef Tzuri, he was paskening like Beit Shammai? And that you need to use a dinar of silver? That's incredible. I mean, nobody ever goes in the sheet of Beit Shammai because the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So how do we explain the fact that for Kedusha Isha, where it says Kesef, and nonetheless, it doesn't mean Kesef? Now explain that one. You're right. I give up. You got me. All right, so then we obviously have been misquoting something over here. We did not understand Rav Asi. We incorrectly interpreted Rav Asi. What Rav Asi had really said was like this. Omer of Yudom Rav Asi, instead of saying all kesef in the Torah, no, that's not the point. It's not all kesef in the Torah. It's called kesef katsuv amur b'Torah kesef tzuri. It's wherever the Torah defines a certain amount of money. So how do we know what money it's talking about? That's what he was saying. So let's say the Torah says a rapist has to pay 50 shekel. A motzi shemra has to pay 100. Somebody who kills an eved pays 30 shekel shel eved. But what coinage are we talking about? How can you tell me what to pay in a Torah that's nageya deres, and you're not telling me what you mean? Therefore, it's over there that Rav Asi says, you need to understand that the meaning of the word kesev in the Torah, when it's telling you a specific amount, it's always talking about a certain amount of silver. And then you can translate that into your local currencies. And that is kesef tzuri. That's what he said. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, all of the cases that we've been talking about until now are not specific amounts. They just use the word kesef. And therefore, Rav Asi has nothing to do with any of those cases. Doesn't say how much money to give for an isha. Doesn't say how much money to put your miser money into. Doesn't say how much money to use when you're using the pidyon of Hekdesh. And also, it was a silly thing that we did. We took him to mean that the word kesef never means money. The word kesef means this particular coin. That's never what he intended. So since that's what we're talking about, so then the kesef isha has nothing to do with Rav Asi at all. But wait a minute. My kamashmalan, if that's the point, so then Rav Asi is not telling us anything. Because that's a beferish of Mishnah. The Mishnah actually goes through, it's the Mishnah in Bechoras. It goes through every single case of kesef katsuv, and it defines it in terms of kesef tzuri. Here's the Mishnah. Tanya. Chamesh shlaim shel ben, okay, 5 shekel. That's kesef katsuv. Shloshim shel eved, somebody who kills an eved pays 30 shekel. Katsuv. Chamishim shel ones v'shel mefateh, the knas of rapist or somebody who seduces the nara. Or 100 shekel, that has to be paid by a motzi shemra. All of these, kulam b'shekel ha-kodesh, the Torah refers to the same shekel that it was talking about in the building of the Mishkan. And that is monetsuri, because that is pure silver. So if I already know every single case that Rav Asi was ostensibly coming to teach us, can you please tell me what Rav Asi is adding to a Beferish Mishnah in Bechoros? So then we're wrong about Rav Asi again. Nah. The truth is, he didn't come to teach us anything about the Kesef Kotzev Omer Batera. The real Kiddush of Rav Asi is the last part, that Shal Divrayam Kesef Medina. Now, that doesn't say it anywhere. That is Trichalei Delotanan. That's absolutely necessary for him to teach us, because there is no Mishnah that says that, and I wouldn't have known unless Rav Asi explained it. I'll give you some examples, okay? D'Tanya. We've got a whole list of various things. Obviously, we've spoken about many times that the word D'Tanya usually means a brisa, but doesn't have to mean all the time, even though there are those who change D'Tanya every time to a D'Tanan. Okay, so there are those who change this to the Tanan. But anyway, this is obviously a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. And it gives over there set amounts of fines four common situations that would have ended up in court. And instead of making a big deal out of it, we define what it is that you pay under the circumstances, right? So for instance, hatokea lechavero noten lo sela. You go and you say, boo, into somebody's ear, and the guy jumps and everybody starts laughing. Oh, ha, 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 ha. So that's a certain level of busha. Okay, that's worth one sela. What type of sela? So comes along Ravashi to say, what type of sela? A sela medina. Don't think this is 1/8 of what the sela would be in Suri. By the way, I must say there are Rishonim who don't go in for the boo approach, and they believe that tokea means you gave him a pound next to his ear. You patched him next to his ear. Okay. Anyway, but the point is, lo tema mysela arba zuzim. Don't think that we're talking about four zuzim, which is a sela in terms of kesef tsuri. Palga de zuza, 1/8 of that is what we're talking about. Half a zuz, which is a sela medina. Davide inchi de corla palga de zuza isteria. I mean, we find that people, that the real value of a sela tsuri is actually called the istira. But the people that use the regular thing, they use the same name to pretend that it's a chashev, so they'll use the 1/8 coin, which is only a chatzi dinner, they'll call that an istira. Because to us, that's the istira, watered-down currency. Okay, so that is another approach. So far, we've got two approaches. One is that it's a function of the das of the isha. The other is that it's an understanding of the nature of the way that the Torah defines the kesef. The other that we're now going to have, which is a new approach, yet a third approach, is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, you know where Beit Shammai comes up with the din of requiring a dinner? Because it's really like Chizkiya. Chizkiya pointed out that when the Torah talks about ve'im lo ya'ada, vehevda. Now, vehevda is a very strange way to say something, because the vehevda is not what the actual bialim does, right? Vehevda means that she is to be allowed to be paid to herself. And we make pretend that the vehevda is said about the owner. If the owner didn't do the yiud and she wasn't yotze b'simanim, he has to vehevda, but he's not put to her. It must mean that he enables her to be paid to herself. Okay, this is a drosha, everybody agrees, right? And that teaches us, malamed, shemigara'at mipidyona v'yotza. So he has to allow her to prorate the number of years that she's worked based on the value of her original purchase. It does not make any difference whether this guy may end up losing a tremendous amount of money because of this, because meanwhile, the price of an army Ivriya went up 100 times. Makes no difference. Vehevda means he's got to make it possible for her to be megarat mipidyona by prorating it, right? Okay, that's the Chiddush. Now, here is why I believe, says Reish Lakish, that this tells me how we get to Beit Shammai. What? Yep, because look, consider for yourself. If this person had purchased the Oma Ivriya, but with a dinner, so then it would make sense. He originally spent a dinner, and now she takes off 1/6 of a dinner for each year that she worked, right? That would make sense. So, Hainin Begarav Azla Ad Pruta, you could bring that down. It's the last day of the year. After all, a dinner is 192 prutas. So you've got really the last week is still worth money. The last 3 days is still worth money. So he has to allow her to prorate that and to pay whatever that was worth. But if the original Kenyan would really be possible with a single pruta, and a pruta, after all, is minimal value, so then she would never be able to be poda herself, because you cannot pay less than a pruta for anything. It doesn't have a din of value. Okay, so then that means that the Torah is essentially saying that the amount that you needed to pay in order to purchase the Soma Ivri, and we're going to see that Beit Shammai, in the end, learns, according to Reish Lakish, is learning the din from an Yom Ivri, huh? Well, the Torah is saying you have to give a minimum of a dinner. So, Amrit Bishlama, the Ivla dinner, originally that would allow her with 192 prutas in it, would allow her to keep going down until the last couple of days of the year, right? So, okay. But if the original purchase price was only a pruta, how can you pay less than a pruta? So, mi pruta, mi migara, huh? So then you wouldn't be able to be mekayim the word vehevda. What kind of weird raya is this, Reish Lakish? Come on. I mean, does it say you have to be give her a dinner? Maybe in the event that there still was money and that he had paid a dinner, you have to allow her to be paid to herself. But what, it doesn't say you need to be paid to her in every case. I don't get what you're saying. In the event that you had paid a dinner, so hecha d'yoyevla dinner, tigrat pruta, allow her to buy herself back by prorating it. Obviously, if she didn't use a dinner, and she only used the pruta, so she can't buy herself back. So what's your problem? Hecha d'yoyevla pruta, then lo tigara klal. There is no way to deduct anything from a pruta. But that's a logistical issue. That's not, it's just practical. I understand where you see from here that it means that you needed to use a dinner. Where do you get that from, bichlal? Reish Lakish is one step ahead of you, Oh, lo tzakadaita. Because look, this whole idea comes from im lo ya'ada vehevda, right? So what is the im lo ya'ada vehevda? It has to be dumya de yi'ud. Let's imagine a case where the yi'ud is impossible. Let's say that this Oma Ivriya is an erva to this man. He could, you think, could still go ahead and buy her, even though he's not going to be miyayed her because he cannot be miyayed her as his wife, right? Wrong. Just like Yehud, that af agav the iboy miyayed, the iboy lo miyayed, even though it's obviously not a chiv on him to do Yehud. If he wants to do Yehud, he can. If he doesn't want to do Yehud, he doesn't have to. But nonetheless, if he cannot do yud, then the whole purchase is impossible. We learn out, actually, from the Mishnah, that in a case where, we're going to see this later on, very soon, actually, in the Gemara, that in the event that yud is impossible, then there is no way to do the purchase in the first place. So then if that's true, l'gabe the yud, then that's also true, gabe, the substitution for the yud, which is im lo yada vehevda. So therefore, there would be no sale at all. So hachinami kol echad olot lo matzi migara'a lo haviz vina zvine. And if that's the case, then that would mean that you must use a dinner and not a pruta. And, okay, what does this have to do with Beit Shammai? Ah, everything, says Reish Lakish. Because Kiddushe Isha le Beit Shammai, nafka lo mi'oma Ivriya. The whole basis of Kiddushe Isha with money, according to Beit Shammai, Tainas Reish Lakish, comes, this limud, the din of the mammon, comes from Oma Ivriya. Same way Oma Ivriya, you cannot be kene, bepruto lo mikanya, af Isha, bepruto lo mikacha. So basically, we learn out the regular din of Kiddushin through the Kiddushin of the Oma Ivriya. The Kiddushin of the Oma Ivriya is Yiyud. And therefore, you can't use a pruta for Yiyud. Why can't I use a pruta for Yiyud? Yiyud is actually Kiddushin, because obviously you're using the money of the Kinyan, of the original Kinyan, and that's what Yiyud means. You are Mikudeshet with the money that was originally paid by me to purchase you. So you see from there that this is together with the din of Kesev of Isha. So in other words, what we're assuming here is the question later on, which is, with what money does the Odin use? What does he use for Yud? He uses for Yud the money that was given at that time. Okay, we're going to see exactly how that works out later in the Gemara, whether you're using what's left of the money or whether you're using the original money that you gave. Here we seem to be saying you're using the original money. But hold on a second. This was all based on the fact that you need to be able to be Megareya. So where'd you come up with the dinner? I don't understand. What if it would be a half a dinner? Well, that's not good. Anything beyond a pruta would be good, right? Maybe two prutas. I mean, how did you jump from a pruta to a dinner just because you need to be able to split that original price into something that is more than one pruta? Fine, so two prutas. Where'd you get a dinner from? So ema palga de dinner, or maybe shtei prutas. No, that, says Reish Lakish, that's clear. Obviously, once the Torah says, by telling us this halacha of im lo ya'ada vehefta, once you take the din out of the kesev of the pruta, which is the normal meaning of value, so now you're saying, okay, so now it's not a function of value. If it's not a function of value, so then let's talk about the next chash of a coin. And the next chash of a coin is ukmuhu, a dinner. So because of that, I can see that Tzvi's angling for a dinner invitation over here, huh? That's not that kind of dinner, Tzvi. You should have been here the whole time with the Daf Yomi. Coming once a year doesn't help, my friend. This is not that dinner, no. So you therefore, because you're not going to be using a pruta, you're going to be using something that's choshev in that value system. In that value system, it's a dinner. And that brings us to a conclusion so far to Beit Shammai. Now, tomorrow we're going to see there may be other ways of understanding Beit Shammai. But so far, we've got three possibilities. Where did he come up with the din? One is that it's dependent on the das of the isha, and we compared that a little bit to the issue of chalifin that we had before. The other is that it's an analysis of the Torah's utilization of the word kesev as meaning actual silver, as opposed to meaning value, which would preclude pruta. And the final one, so far, I shouldn't say the final, the third one, was Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish said that it was Dafka learned out from the concept of Yud of Anama Ivriya, where the Torah ends up, if you analyze things, it ends up saying that you can't use a pruta to achieve that. It would need to be something that would allow Gira on Kesev, and therefore we go to the next value up, which is the dinner. And that brings us to a very sad goodbye for the day. Yes, a dinner of Richie. A Richie's pizza dinner. Absolutely. That was the next approach to how much you've got. Yes, indeed. How much you've got to give to Anisha. And no way. You're over that stage. That's what happens to marriage. That's what they say. It goes stale. That's because... All right, then.
A one-liner?
Yes.
People don't always realize that the Tsar means Tyre, and the Tyrian mint was trusted not to forge or to counterfeit, which, as Rebbe mentioned twice, was so common that they would put on a sheen of silver and it was really bronze. And we find in the first coins, we find holes drilled to see is it really gold or silver all the way through. But Tyre was trusted and hence only used their coinage because you could rely on it.
What do you mean? You can't just drill a hole and cover the inside of the hole and then make the coin originally with a hole like many of the coins had? Ha-ha. We can always get around things, Barnea. Yes, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to see you tomorrow. Hinei matovu manoim shevet achim gam yachat today. Very special. Okay, Rebbes and Gabbais always belong together. Kol tov, everyone. It's a joy to see you all. And Mazel Tov to Shmuel, I guess we'll hear that later, on the birth of a grandson.